Lord bless you for being here. I know some of you, well, all of us had to get an hour early, but some of you got here 2 hours early. Oh, yes, indeed. I won't say anything, Carla. Yeah, being a little early, so. Well, open your Bibles, your blessed Bibles. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Turn it to Matthew, the 12th chapter. The title of my sermon today is The Insanity of Blasphemy. Insanity or insane. Just before I start anything, let me identify that. Webster calls it this, a state of mind that prevents normal perception. A teenager. That was not right, was it? Front row's not laughing. And to be in a state of extreme annoyance or distraction. The terrible twos could be right there. It's not losing your mind. It's what prevents you from normal perception. Is that not the definition of the lost? Is that not the definition of you and me before we came to faith in Christ? We were insane. And just to maybe illustrate that, today I'd like to tell you 9 things. Now, don't get panicked. I'm only going to do you 4 today. Tonight, I'll give you there 4 or 5. Because it would take a long time. But it's always interesting as I read this scripture. We know that this thing is, from last Sunday, unforgivable. This blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. This rejection. This resisting. And yet, we continue to do it. It's very common. It is always interesting to see someone to do something that they know in the end will hurt them. You see it all the time. Some of it's habits, addictions, those kinds of things. But other things aren't. They just, you got to go do it yourself. I know it hurt Fred, but it's not going to hurt me somehow. Oh, yeah. You're not the exception. I'll get to that in a minute. It happens all the time. They cannot learn from others. They need to experience the pain themselves. And probably my best example of this is when we first got the taser back in about 95, 92. I don't know when it was. It was a tremendous tool. When I started on the police department, they gave me a gun and a nightstick. That was it. And these. That was all we had. And they trained us with those things. And when we got pepper spray, I hated it because you pepper sprayed you and your buddy and everybody else. And so everybody got pepper sprayed. It wasn't fun. And then we got the taser. Now, that was fun. You start riding the lightning rail for 8 seconds. It was something to watch. But we had to get trained in it. And so they brought in some trainers to train us. And we were in the briefing room. And they put a video up of this Filipino DI sergeant, 7th degree black belt, one bad dude. He was fighting in a war in Iraq. And a grenade went off. Dislocated his knee, he grabbed it, popped it back in, and went on. That's a stud. And they hooked him up. And he was in the martial arts. And he went, oh, go ahead. And, oh, man, he yelled for his mother. It was hilarious. We were laughing. It was so fun. Then they hooked up a 2,500-pound buffalo. Hooked one to his tail and one to his head. Boom! Laid him right over in his pen. I was like, wow. Then they showed 12 SWAT members, all these studly egomaniac cops, arm to arm, locked up. 12, they put one probe, you know, it shoots 2 probes out. One goes level, the other one goes low a little bit. You want kind of a spread out. They put one on that end and one on this end. They locked arms and they touched it off and all 12 went to their knees. And I was like, that is impressive. But this was the most impressive part of the whole thing. When the instructor said, "Who would like to go next?" And I started laughing. Oh, I said, "Yeah, I ain't going next." And how many people raised their hand? And I went, me and Chuck Kendricks, we're both farm boys. We went, "We're not stronger than a 2,500-pound buffalo. But I guess these guys got to go through it." And so whenever someone volunteers for pain, because I don't laugh at pain. I don't think it's funny until you volunteer for it. And then it's hilarious. And these guys are tough guys, tough Reno policemen. They come up there, and I don't know how you get a 40-year-old man to sound like a 13-year-old girl. But it's hilarious. And electricity will do it. They hit octaves you never heard. And me and Chuck were rolling down. Oh, it was so fun. Women did it. Women got hooked up, and they can hit. Woo! Way up there, and it was hilarious. It made me wonder, why? What more do you need to see? To say, you can't beat electricity. It's going to take you down. Chuck Swindoll, he wrote a book called Temptation. I think we get tempted to do things because we think we're going to be the exception. And one of the most remarkable things in his book on temptation is the first page, dedicated to all those who knew better and did it anyway. Has anybody succumbed to that? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. We're all insane. We've all said, "I knew better, and I did it anyway." So when I preach this today, please don't think I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to the world. This is a problem we have. We do not... Something prevents us from normal perception, and we call it insanity. It seems that we all have fallen into the insanity of thinking that we somehow are the exception and the sin of others will somehow not affect me like others has. We are smarter than those people. We have technology. We have medicine now. We can get away with the stuff our parents couldn't do. We believe we can hold fire in our lap and not be burned. That's what we believe. And so we go into this, and as I read this, people do this all the time. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. They reject and resist Him. And they think there will be no consequence. When it's apparent all the time that there is. Would you stand with me as we read the scripture? Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 30 through 32. A sobering piece of scripture. "He who is not with me is against me." I said in early service, there's a whole sermon right there. "And he who does not gather with me scatters." This is Jesus speaking. "Therefore I say to you, any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come." Lord, we come before you. We need your help. Help us to take the blinders down, Lord, where we have some insanity in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit's power so much. And we ask for it today. And we ask that not only will you speak to us, but you give us the power to do your will. Help us to move today. Help us to move from maybe years and years of a certain way of life, a certain way of thinking, a certain idea in our heart that's just not real. And that, Lord, we would know the truth and the truth would set us free today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, indeed, it is insanity to speak about the Lord like this, the insanity of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Why is it so dangerous? The Bible's very specific about it. It's deadly. to not only blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but to resist and reject him in your life. Last week, I spoke of the first reason, and the one I really hit on was it's unforgivable. That's horrible. We all need forgiveness so desperately, but this Sunday, I want to tell you why it's insane. And let me remind you what insanity is. I've seen many people that we'd say, he's insane. Well, yeah, he's mentally ill. We had a guy named Gerald Sam. He was blind, beggar. And he was insane in the clinical way. And when he got drunk, and alcohol is a horrendous thing on your brain. Everybody says, oh, the prohibition was horrible. 96% of the insane asylums were empty during prohibition. So it's not such a bad thing not having any alcohol in your system. But Gerald Sam, when he got drunk, I mean, he carried a cane and he's blind. So when I said, Gerald, it's the police, you're going to jail. It's swinging that thing. He's trying to get one of us. He was crazy. He was mad. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that kind of insanity. I'm talking about a state of mind that prevents normal perception. It's the blinders, and we see it constantly, and maybe you feel it, I feel it, but don't you just watch the media, and don't you just watch what's going on right now? Maybe, let's just take, for instance, the embracing of Islamic religion. Women are embracing it. We got people in America going to Syria with some kind of idea that's going to be a great deal for them. They're dying over there on drone strikes and whatever, but they're being deceived, and there's a deception, a spiritual deception. Am I the only one not seeing it? I can't believe that we would embrace this and reject Christianity, because that's what's happening. And there's some clearly spiritual things behind it. And so what I'd like to talk about is just a few things, just four things today. Tonight I'll talk about four others of why it's insane, why it's insanity to resist and reject the Holy Spirit and blaspheme. This scripture here, the first reason, and number one is because the Holy Spirit is God. Now, I took something off there. I wanted to say, because he's the Holy Spirit, stupid. He's God. You're not dealing with somebody or some force or the force of nature. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God. And he rules this world. He is what's come on Pentecost. He is the most powerful force in all creation, and we defy him. That's insanity. That's crazy. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Of course not. You're not going to get to heaven and say, I told God to get lost and make it. It's just insanity. But we do it. We do it. We resist him. No, I know better in my life. I don't need God. It's deadly. Many people take this scripture and make some kind of level of holiness between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Like, well, the Holy Spirit must have been holier than Jesus. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is. Jesus came to redeem you. He died on a cross for you. And then he left and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit to execute his purpose. You can speak about Jesus all day long, how you don't like him or something like that, but when that Holy Spirit executes a convicting call on your life, you're fighting God. And his job is to execute that in your hearts and my hearts. And it's that, you know, maybe some of you Christians here, it's what made you grip that pew when God was calling you. You resisting that? Yes. That is the God of heaven and earth, and you're resisting him. And so, of course, you're taking away any option you have. It's the only way we can come to God is through the Spirit. And so, indeed, it's insanity. It's not all. All three persons of Trinity are equally holy, but the Holy Spirit is the one that executes this. The problem with slandering the Holy Spirit is because it places... He holds in the execution of salvation. You see, the Father chose you, the Son redeemed you, and the Holy Spirit in your time and space in history called you, and you say no. It's a death sentence. This too is insanity. Number two, not only is he God, it's insane because he is the only convicting power in this world to save your soul. There's not another option. There's not another spirit that can save you. There's a spirit that will keep you lost. John 16:8 says, and he, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the Holy Spirit's job. John 16:18 says that, since the Holy Spirit is the executing office of the Godhead to save your soul, to resist him is to resist any hope of coming to salvation. You've eliminated the source, the pathway. There are no other ways to come to faith in Christ and get saved but by the Spirit of God, unless the Spirit convicts your heart of your sin, of Christ's righteousness, and the certain judgment to come, you'll never come. You'll never come to Christ. You'll never leave your sins and yourself and flee to the cross until you know that you've sinned against the Holy God and you tremble. The children of Israel had to walk right by Mount Sinai, the smoking mountain, and hear the law of God and tremble. Tell Moses, tell him to stop. You go talk to him. We can't take it anymore because of fear. Oh, to have the fear of the Lord in your heart. And you tremble under the heaviness of knowing you sinned against the Holy God. You're so close to salvation. The words are but in your mouth that if you would confess Jesus as Lord, he would save your soul. We must be brought to a dreadful place of breaking the law of God and see our sinful souls that were worthy of eternal death. It is only then that we will flee to the cross. This too is insanity, to resist such love, such convicting power. I was a brand new Christian. I was working at Reno Truss Yard over here. It was in Panther Valley. It's in Cold Springs now. And I had a man there, Mike Marmon. He was a hard worker, but he was lost, and he would persecute me. His mother prayed for him all the time. He'd always, you're like my mom. You talk like my mom about the Lord. And I told him, hey, judgment's coming. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. It's available. Your mother prays for you. You're probably miserable. Shut up. I said, hey, Jesus is coming. What are you going to do? He says, I got it figured out, Mark. When I look to the east and I see Jesus coming, then I'm going to repent. But until then, I'm going to live for me. I said, partner, you don't get to decide when God calls you. He calls you at his time. I saw Mike Marmon one more time downtown. Years later, an alcoholic, wasting his life. I hope the Lord has caught hold of him. Because Mike Marmon, there's hope for Mike Marmon. Thirdly, not only is it crazy and insane because God is God and the Holy Spirit is God, and that he's the only convicting power in the world to save you, but thirdly, because the Holy Spirit holds the will of God for you. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit is the only way you can know the will of God in your life. Romans 8:27-28, many of you, it's your favorite scripture. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called, that's the Holy Spirit's job, according to his purpose. You see, we can't have the will of God without knowing the Spirit. It has to speak to us. My dear friends, the only way you know, for you to know the will of God is to have the Holy Spirit. Are you worried about your future? Are you struggling with knowing God's will for you? And is your life becoming puzzling and life's not working out the way you wanted it to? The answer is to have the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you into all truth. Without the Holy Spirit, you're without a spiritual guide. You have no map. You have no internal compass. You have one now, but it's lost. It only directs to one place, your nature, sin, selfishness. It's laced with self-interest. And when you reject this, your only hope to knowing the will of God, it's insanity. It's crazy. I was reading an article years ago, hunting article. I enjoy reading hunting articles, especially people getting lost in the woods. And this one man got lost in the woods for 5 days, almost perished. It was in northwest Montana. But I don't remember how he got out of it. I don't remember any of this. What was remarkable to me was that the first day in the afternoon, about an hour before dark, he realized he was completely lost. And he didn't know. He didn't know where he was, and he was getting that little tightness in your throat, and I'm lost and I don't know how to get out of here. When he saw another hunter, just like from here to the back of the church, just all he had to do was say, "Hey, sir," that loud. You could see him. And he went, "I'm lost. How embarrassing. How embarrassing. How do I tell this hunter I'm lost?" And so he just waved. I wonder how many times we know we're lost and the Holy Spirit's right there. And we, I'm desperate. I know I'm lost. Not only that, I wonder how many people walk through this world in desperation, and I have the words of life, and no one asks me. Maybe I need to speak up. We used to have a pastor here in Reno named Rob Owens, University Family Fellowship. He always wore a clerical collar. He wasn't Catholic at all. Joe Taylor, pastor friend of mine, said, "Rob, come here. I want to ask you a question. Why are you wearing this?" "Well, come on, you're Baptist." He wasn't Baptist. He was non-denom, but his faith was Baptist. And he said this. He said, "You know, I was on a bus in San Francisco. And I was sitting there going to my next ministry call when a man stood up in the bus and pulled a gun out and shot himself right in front of all of us. And I thought, how, if I'd have known he was suffering, if I'd have known he was right there, maybe he'd have said something to me. I could give him the words of life." And he says, "From that day forward, I'm gonna mark myself." So that's why I did. I kind of respected Rob for that. How many people around us have lost their compass? They don't have one. They need the Holy Spirit. And he holds the will for you. And you're fighting him. This too is insanity. Lastly, not only is it insane because God is, the Holy Spirit's God, and it's the only convicting power you'll ever have to be saved, and he holds the will of God for you, but fourthly, because the Holy Spirit is striving with you right now, but he will not always. This got settled a long time ago in Genesis chapter 6. Because the Holy Spirit is striving with you right now, but he will not always. Genesis 6:3 says, "Then the Lord said, 'My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also flesh.'" This is a most sobering text in that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit happens in a period of time. There's a time for you and for me. Now, some think that you can come to Christ anytime you want. Well, we call them Arminians. I've never met a real one. It seems that we have so many scriptures saying that you're going to come on God's time, not yours. But there are too many other scriptures that speak of this being the time that God has allotted for you, not you. That there is a specific time given to you by an all-knowing, loving Savior to reach out to you in love in a time of grace and mercy. And it's His time, not yours. Hebrews 6:4-7 says this, "Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, He again fixes a certain day." Today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Did you hear that? Did you notice a day? Many of us can say, oh, I remember that glorious day that I came to faith in Christ. I had rejected Him, and I had rejected Him, and I reject Him no more. And He lovingly brought me to Himself. Do you notice that there is a time and place that it is for you, and if the Holy Spirit is calling you, do not think that it'll always be like this. That you should think in your heart that any time of your choosing, you can come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and come to faith. I have had many people say, I can't get the feeling back, Pastor. I can't get the feeling. I had a man tell me that just recently. I've lived a life of sin. He used to call on me all the time. He used to talk to me all the time. I can't hear a thing now. Why? You don't get to come on your own. You come when God calls you. This too. This thinking that we can come on our own anytime we want, it's insanity. It's crazy. Do you remember Numbers 14, one of the saddest books of the Bible? The spies had returned from the promised land. Man, the Jews had seen, the children of Israel had seen many, many miracles. Many we don't even know. Just undocumented ones. Their shoes didn't even wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. They've seen so many plagues and they deliverance and that the Red Sea and manna and water from a rock, and they get to the edge of the promised land, and he said, spies out, and 12 come back and 2 good reports, 10 bad reports. And Moses says, let's go. And Caleb says, let's go. Joshua says, let's go. And they said, no, they ripped their clothes. Come on, guys, turn around, repent. This is the day. And they refused. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They didn't know. It's too late. What are you going to do? Go back them? You plundered them and you killed them all. So you're going to go back. And that day, the Lord's hand withdrew from them. And He says, I'm done with your generation. And everybody over 20 years old shall perish in this wilderness. Because of your unbelief. It was a day. You know, they got up the next day and repented. And they headed out. And Moses said, don't go. The Lord's not with you. You had a day. And you didn't go. And they went anyway. And they died. And they came back beaten. And for 40 years. Man, that's a long time. Their children had to go. They stayed. And God says, they will not enter my rest. These are tough things to talk about. Dear friends, let me ask you, church members, are you here today rejecting the Holy Spirit? Are you resisting Him over and over again? Are you here today resisting the Holy Spirit who is so lavishly pouring His love out on you and me? And you refuse. And you continue to refuse. He has called you to do something, Christian. Sinner, He's been calling you out, and you're unmovable, and you think it's without consequence that you can continue like this. One day you'll not hear anything. Your past, if God is real, he's knocking on your door. You know he's real. He's convinced you he is. And now he calls you home. You've suffered too long in the valley of decision. And the day is drawing late and time is running out. And the light of the calling of God, it's nearly setting. And you still resist him. This is insanity. This is nuts. Come to life in Christ and enjoy a life in Christ. In fact, it's blind insanity. Let me say this. When you face the Lord and are found without the seal of God on you, and you are allotted your portion in hell, don't blame anyone else for yourself for resisting the Holy Spirit. He has shown you mercy and grace over and over and over again, and it is insanity that you have refused him. And you will know it then. Now, that is many hard words. And I know I would love to make you feel better, but I cannot. But now let me tell you this. This does not have to be your story. You do not have to do that. I know the sun is setting, but it's not too late. He's still calling folks to himself. He is still sealing hearts to heaven, the Bible says. In fact, it says, if anyone comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I know he's called you before, and maybe even now, today, it's not as strong as it used to be, but do you still hear him? If that was a faint voice, I would flee to him. I would run to him. I would beg for mercy, and I'd come to faith in Christ, and I'd say, I'm ready to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I don't want to waste the rest of my life. I have family. I have many, many people that have come to my office and said, Mark, it's too hard. It's too hard. I've gone so far. I've done so many things. And it's too hard, and it's so far back. And I said, then what's the option? You know where this is leading. It's to death. Well, you're insane. You're going to go to death. You're going to give up when Christ is offering salvation. Isn't that insanity? Where are you at today? Has God been calling you and calling you and calling you? Whether it's a Christian to do something and you know it and you've been resisting, or you don't know the Lord and you know it and he knows it. Maybe nobody else does, but you do. Do you want to declare that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want to come to faith in Christ? Is the Lord calling you to some work? That's the Holy Spirit. The devil wants you to be quiet, to resist it, and to leave this house without any decision. But I want you to know you've made the decision, one way or the other.